Talk Sport on DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM. The enduring home of football.
It's modern radio, only better.
Talk Sport.
Hello, I'm Jeff Peters. This is Up the League, where we concentrate on matters in the Sky Bet Championship, as well as League One and League Two. In the show today, we reflect on the season gone by, the highs and lows, celebrations and commiserations, and what may lie in store for the clubs when the new campaign gets underway in August. Adam Virgo will be casting his expert eye over the stories which have kept us glued to the Football League in the past 10 months, including the drama of the playoff finals at Wembley. It's been a roller coaster ride.
And there is the final whistle. There is a pitch invasion here at a delirious turf moor.
The referee Mike Dean is blowing the whistle and Middlesbrough are promoted to the Barclays Premier League.
Strikes from distance. Oh, it's a wonderful goal.
Back at the first attempt. Hull City are Premier League again.
It was going to be a cagey game all the way through and we knew it was going to take something special to win it, and Mo Diarmi pops up with it at a moment and that's what he's got.
To go back at the first time of asking, you know, like Sean Dyche, it's a massive ask and thoroughly deserved.
Here's Adam Hamill down the left-hand side. He runs at one or two, then shoots towards the far corner. It's a dream goal.
We were down last night early watching the game and Mo Diarmi scored a better man in the JPC, so I thought I've got a topper today.
I think what's important for the promoted sides is that they'll keep the nucleus of their squads, which is, I think, is always important for the managers then to add that bit of quality in.
Oh, he's flicked on and in at the near post. 1-0 Wimbledon lead it. Is that the goal that sees them promoted?
It's an incredible story and these guys over here, they deserve it. 14 years ago they had their club taken away from them. Look at them now. Unbelievable.
Well, the Don story to start off with is a remarkable one. As we saw on Monday, 20 plus thousand. The club's growing. You know, Neil Ardley takes a massive amount of credit.
For the final time this season, it's me and you and the 72. This is Up the League on TalkSport.
Don't phone your mother. Phone TalkSport.
Football. 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 On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM.
Atletico Radio.
TalkSport.
So welcome to our weekly Sky Bet Football League show, the last one before the summer break when international eyes turn to the likes of Euro 2016. Domestically, each division has thrown up its fair share of intrigue, debate and some fairy tale moments too. We start with the Championship, the thoughts of former Brighton defender Adam Virgo to come, and it's Hull City who join Burnley and Middlesbrough in the top flight next season.
This is Snodgrass moving the ball infield, gives it to Diarmi. Strikes from distance. Oh, it's a wonderful goal. 25 yards out. He picks out the top left-hand corner as the goalkeeper looks at it. There was no reaching that from Kieran Westwood. It's a stunning goal. It's a dynamite finish from Mo Diarmi. And Hull are in front in the Championship playoff final. Full-time whistle blows. Back at the first attempt. Hull City are Premier League again. The celebrations are wild. The noise is loud. The joy difficult to keep in. They will return to the most competitive, most watched, best paid league in the world next year. For Sheffield Wednesday, it's another bout of Wembley heartache. A year ago, it was disappointment and dismay as they were relegated. 12 months on, Michael Dawson lifts the Championship playoff final trophy into the sky, and it is delight as Hull City are promoted back to the Premier League.
Well, it's terrific to be back. We've made hard work of it at times this year, but if you're ever going to go up, then it's a terrific time to do it.
These emotions 12 months ago of when we got relegated, it was the worst day of my career. But now, to be back in the Premier League where I believe this group of players should be, and we'll enjoy the night.
It's 49 games in one, basically, because you get for a 46-game season, you don't quite reach them automatic spots. You get a second chance in the playoffs. First game at Derby was amazing. The emotions were so high. Then the second game, we nearly threw it away. That's this league, but we got through to the final and we knew it was going to be a cagey game all the way through, and we knew it was going to take something special to win it, and Mo Diarmi pops up with it at a moment, and that's what he's got.
Yeah, it was an amazing moment for me. It was important, big game. As I said at the beginning of the season, I wanted to get back this club where I was when I signed, and now it's done. I'm happy, I'm so happy. To put a smile on all the face of these people is amazing.
We've done it the old way, but you see what it means to the fans, and if you're not going to win the league, you're going to win the playoffs.
And all of you stuck with the
season. This is, I guess, shows why.
Yeah, I think obviously we lost a couple last summer, but as you say, the club stuck with a few of us, stuck with the manager most importantly, and I think we've got a just rewards today.
Adam Virgo, Hull squeezed past Sheffield Wednesday. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the right side won on the day. As disappointing as the game was for Sheffield Wednesday, I was just expecting a little bit more from them. They've had a great season, and the way that they like to play on the counter-attack, especially with the midfield that they've got, you know, Banham and Wallace, you know, on either flanks, they just didn't really create too much going forward. And I just thought Hull certainly edged it on the day. A wonder goal from the Army, that was a difference. And Westwood's, you know, he was the man of the match for me because he made so many saves that kept Sheffield Wednesday in the game. And it was just disappointing because it wasn't the real Sheffield Wednesday that we had seen this season. But I think over the whole of the playoffs, I think Hull were the better side. You know, against Derby, they were fantastic. And even though the second leg was a bit difficult for them because they already had that 3-goal lead. Defensively, they've been excellent this season. It's been the base of why they've been so successful. And I'd like to see Steve stay next season. I think I read something about him maybe moving on if the takeover happens. But you know, to go back at the first time of asking, you know, like Sean Dyche, it's a massive ask and thoroughly deserved.
So Burnley, Middlesbrough and Hull, the three to go up. The three best teams in the division this season. Who else was perhaps unlucky not to join them? Or perhaps should have done better and joined them?
Well, Brighton would be the obvious choice to get to 89 points and lose on goal difference. But there was a period after Christmas where they had that brilliant start, but I think that just caught up with them and they lost to Middlesbrough comfortably. They lost to Ipswich over the Christmas period, where that's the period as well when you should be picking up points. But to finish 20th last season with 40 points, for Chris to turn the club around this year to get them to thirds. But listen, there are probably opportunities where during the season they should have lost and should have won as well. I remember away at Wolves they should have won and they ended up picking up a point. But I think any side over the course of the season could certainly nitpick of where they can win games and where points were dropped. But it was always going to be a big ask. Derby, last home game of the season, and then to go away to Middlesbrough, who defensively at home have been excellent, only lost twice. And you know, I think it was always a bit too much, regardless of the red card of Stevens or whatever. You know, they just didn't quite have enough in the tank to go up in the top two. For me, the league table never lies.
Just tell us about Burnley and Middlesbrough. What did they have extra this season?
Well, what they've done, and I think a lot of clubs next season, I think Aston Villa will have to look into this. You need an out-and-out goal scorer. And now in the Championship, you know, you may have to go and spend £6-7 million on that recognised striker. They did it with Andre Gray. And Jordan Rhodes came in January. They spent a lot of money on him. And he took a little bit of time to get going in terms of goals. But just towards the end of the season, that bit of quality, I think it was away at Bolton, he got that, you know, those winning goals, where, again, you look at the flip side of the coin. He's a goal scorer. So it'd be interesting to see how he does next season in the Premier League. I think he's a fantastic Championship striker. And I wonder why not many Premier League sides have looked at him maybe to take a chance on him. Gusted went to Aston Villa. But I just think that, you know, that's what Brighton were lacking. I think Derby, you know, Chris Martin, he just didn't have the season that he had in the previous years. He's always been that sole influence. And I think under Paul Clement, they just couldn't quite get the formation and the movement around him of getting the ball into his feet and then get players running off from the likes of Hughes, which I think was difficult for Derby when they first started this season. But previous seasons, he's been excellent. So I just think that bit of quality, and defensively as well, I think Middlesbrough have been excellent as well. You know, Konstantopoulos, Ayala, Friend has the best left back in the division going forward. So they've got a good balance, and I think that's been a massive difference of why those two in particular. And the managers as well got to take big credit. You know, Karanka, after losing the final last year, you know, they kind of played, they had a Sheffield Wednesday performance. They were really poor. And then to come back again, and Sean Dyche, the work rate his players are do off the ball is a massive factor of why they're, you know, you bring Joey Barton in, you know, he gets an excellent season out of him, and he's finally got that partner for Sam Vokes up front in Andre Gray, where they had Danny Ings. They've now replaced him, and I think he's going to be an excellent striker in the Premier League next season.
And there is the final whistle, and despite appeals, there is a pitch invasion here at a delirious turf moor, a bedlam at Burnley for the second time in three seasons under Sean Dyche. This town of just 100,000 population or less is celebrating promotion to the top flight of English football.
If you look at how much has been spent by other clubs in order to try and achieve what we've achieved. And we balanced our books, don't forget. You know, we've sold players and bought players in at virtually a zero balance sheet on player trading, which is fantastic. So I'm very proud of what we've done as a staff in order to do that.
And how much has this club sent a message to the rest of the football in terms of not panicking in a setback, going down? The manager's the same, many of the players are the same, you come back.
You'd like to think that other managers get some time to work if there's belief in them. People want change readily. We all do in our lives. We all want everything yesterday. It's part of, you know, culture that we live in. And it does go onto football pitches sometimes and into boardrooms. And, you know, I think the challenge 2 years ago was enormous, and I think the board knew that. So when we came out of the Premier League, I don't think... you know, they weren't thinking, well, I don't think they were thinking that they should change things, because I think they had great belief in how we tried to maximise what we've got in order to stay in there. Didn't quite work. Different sort of playing field now. You know, we've boxed off finance for the training ground and the ground improvements, etc. But we'll still be the minnows in the market. So it'll still be a massive, massive challenge next season.
Will you be better equipped this time for the previous experience to stay there?
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. Player training's enormous. Recruitment's enormous. You know, the higher level you play, recruitment becomes absolutely vital.
We've got a pitch invasion on the far side, but it matters not, because the referee, Mike Dean, is blowing the whistle, and Middlesbrough, who failed in the playoff final last year, don't need the playoffs this time round. They've drawn 1-1 with Brighton, and Middlesbrough are promoted to the Barclays Premier League.
It's what I've dreamt of, you know, 7 years. It's been tough for our town. We've got the town full of hard-working people, and sometimes we don't get the best press, and we're proud people, so I think this puts us back on the map where we belong.
Middlesbrough, we never make it easy, but it's nice to do it in front of our own fans. No, I'm just over the moon. Like I say, it's been a long, hard season, had our ups and downs, and no, we come through it, and like I say, I'm pleased with the chairman more than anyone after, you know, the investment he did in the team, and he deserves it more than anyone.
So Burnley, Middlesbrough and Hull will be replaced in the Championship by Newcastle, Norwich and Villa next season. Early thoughts on that?
Well, I think that you will wonder how Aston Villa will do next season. Again, the takeover, how much the new manager will get. Di Matteo, the new manager, a new replacement. Nigel Pearson would probably be my one originally before Derby took him on. But I just think that if you look at Sean Dyche this season, you look at Steve Bruce, they've kept with their managers. You know, and I think Chris Ramsey for QPR wasn't the right appointment to start with, and they were always playing catch-up after that. You know, Jimmy's come into a completely different QPR side, but it's good to see that Rafa's stayed and he's signed and he's got full control of transfers, which I think is going to be a massive difference. I think it's always interesting to see who they actually keep, where Hull kept a majority of, you know, your likes of Livermore and Davis and Dawson and McGregor. Key players with Premier League experience that will come into the forte in the second half of the season when the pitches are a little bit more, you know, crumpled up a little bit, and you know, the Tuesday nights away at Burton where you need that bit of experience to keep the ball. You know, Norwich have got a good Championship side, and the players they signed in January, like I think Naismith, will be an excellent addition to the Championship forte. I'd like to see Alex Neil stay. I think he's, you know, he's proved a good manager, and I don't think the Premier League was too big for him. I just didn't think he had a good enough side to stay in, and that's just my honest opinion. Where I think next year, you know, with the likes of Martin and Jerome's a good striker in the Championship, Houlihan as well, you know, a player that can pick up great pockets of space where not many Championship teams have that. Forestieri is probably a similar player that I can mention that's just like him. But I think the Norwich and Newcastle, I think, will be there or thereabouts. Villa, who knows?
Three teams leaving the division at the wrong end: Bolton, Charlton and MK Dons, and two of those clubs, well, it's been a crisis off the field, hasn't it?
Well, Charlton, I covered a lot of them towards the end of the season, and it's disappointing to see where they were and where they are. I think Bolton are in a similar situation, but the fans are kind of with the team still, and with the new consortium of coming of Dean Holdsworth. Again, you just never know with these teams that tend to go into administration and go to the other end of the table, really, of where they're going to go. I think MK Dons are in a better situation. I just think that, you know, when you lose Dele Alli and you lose Afobe, you lose Will Griggs as well, you know, you lose 50-odd goals a season. That's a big difference. They didn't replace that this year, and that's a big reason why they were relegated, where you think next year, you know, for Carl, it's going to be a tough season. It's going to be a big ask for him, you know, being linked with the Leeds job and everything, which he turned down. So I think MK Dons would be okay, but you just worry where the other two teams are going to settle into the division, because you see what happened with Leeds in League One. Sheffield United are still in there. It's not an easy league to get out of. I think it's one of the hardest divisions to get promoted from.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, Talk Sport.
Let's turn our attentions to Skybet League One. And it was Barnsley in the relegation zone at Christmas who eventually got promoted alongside Wigan and Burton.
Here's Ashley Fletcher, other end, gets into the penalty area, space to his right, shoots towards the far corner and scores for Barnsley to put them in front inside 90 seconds. Here's Adam Hamill down the left-hand side. He runs at one or two, then shoots towards the far corner. It's a dream goal. It's a fantastic goal. 27 yards out. He gets it onto his right foot and curls an absolute pearler. He's on the near post now trying to mark Morrison. As the ball comes in towards the near post, Morrison helps it on towards the far post. It then comes up, Tony Craig who shoots, and then it falls down inside the box, and a lovely twist and turn from Mark Beavers who scores, and Millwall are back in the game. Here is the corner underneath the penalty box, and the goalkeeper is beaten to it by Lloyd Isgrove, and he does score under the arch at Wembley. His teammate sod him, he would, and has he glanced Barnsley into the Championship, winners at Wembley again. Barnsley fans are in heaven after a second win under the arch in less than 60 days. Johnston Paints winners are now after a two-year absence. The Tykes are back in the Championship. Ashley Fletcher started the ball rolling after just 88 seconds of the game. Hamill and Isgrove with the other goals to take it well beyond Millwall. In truth, Barnsley were much the better side over the course of the 90 minutes and thoroughly deserve to be promoted to the Championship. It's Barnsley 3, Millwall 1.
We were down last night early watching the game and Mo Diarmi scored a better man in the JPC, so I thought I've got a topper today. Lucky enough again, I put inside, this time it went in the top corner, and you know, I was delighted with the goal, but the lads deserved it. We're a better team today. All credit to Millwall who come and fought and give us a great battle, but you know, our ability showing through.
Yeah, you can't beat it, can you? No, mate. I said before, you can get used to it, you could do. So we're going to enjoy it because we know we're lucky. We worked really hard to get here, Bill, and we know we're lucky. We've made the most of it, definitely.
To come here once is amazing, and we did that and we won, but it gave us an incentive and a taste of it, and to come here and win again, it's absolutely unbelievable, and I'm so happy for the fans and the club.
On to Skybet League One, and in the playoff final, we saw Barnsley beat Millwall, and it was, well, it was fairly comfortable. What were your views?
Yeah, I thought, again, it was the better team turned up on the day. I thought, you know, Barnsley played to a better game plan to Millwall. I just thought that, you know, Neil Harris's side, they just didn't turn up, and I think that was the biggest disappointment for him. You know, didn't get Gregory into the game whatsoever. Morrison was quiet, and they're two key players for them up front. They like playing early on, they like chasing the channels, and they just didn't do that enough. And I just thought Barnsley, you know, from Christmas have just been absolutely superb. You know, losing Lee Johnson, there was a stage during their season where I think it was 8 league defeats on the trot where you think he's going to get the sack next week, and he never did, and they just kept on and kept on. And to turn around and then get promoted after that and get the JPT in there as well was a massive achievement from the club. So, you know, it's going to be a tough season for them next year. There's make no bones about it, but the right team run on the day, definitely.
They'll have momentum, having done so well towards the end of this season, going into, as you say, a tough Championship.
Yeah, and I think what's important for the promoted sides, that they'll keep the nucleus of their squads, which is, I think, is always important for the managers then to add that bit of quality in along the way. But as you say, momentum going into successful playoff period and you know, 2016 have, you know, they've arguably been the best team, and you know, especially in League One. And I think that's going to help them. But you know, it's still going to be a tough season next year. But as you said, that momentum will certainly help them.
As for Millwall, did they overachieve this season?
I think so. I think there was a period where Coventry were there or thereabouts and they pulled away. Peterborough had another poor season. You know, Doncaster even getting relegated at the start of the season. I never would have predicted that. So, but Neil's done a massive job. He's done a brilliant job. And to get relegated as well, and then still keep them in the momentum. You know, I saw a lot of Lee Gregory at Halifax in the National League, and another prime example that there is talent in the non-league. And you know, he's been given a full season to show what he can do. 25 plus goals is a major achievement. But you know, just on the day, the better side won, and I don't think Neil can have any complaints from him. I think he said afterwards, you know, we weren't good today, and Barnsley thoroughly deserved to be promoted.
So going up with Barnsley from League One are Wigan and Burton. Back-to-back promotions for Burton, and Wigan coming back after relegation.
Well, I think Gary Caldwell takes a great deal of credit. You know, I think they spent £1 million on Will Grigg. You know, he scored plenty of goals.
He's on fire.
I know, that song going on and on. You know, he took a little bit of a slow start. I mean, at the early part of the season, I think the way that Gary played as a player, he was an excellent player. I played with him at Celtic. Good footballer. read the game very well. And I think that he was trying to make his team play like that. I think he honestly thought that when he first started the season that they could play their way out of the division and get points on the board. And I saw them away at Gillingham and they lost 4-1 and they were really poor and they're playing in the wrong areas, getting caught and conceding poor goals. And I think he just kind of stripped it all away and used that utility player in Will Griggs, and he was the main focus. And they won away at Chesterfield. They won 3-2 and they were 2-0 down with 10 minutes to go. And they came back from that. Craig Davis come on and scored a goal. And it was just the momentum from that and the belief that sometimes it's just about hard work and determination. And when you've got that quality, you know, Will Griggs towards the end of the season was on fire. And, you know, he deserves all the plaudits that he gets. And he will certainly be a massive player for Gary next season. And he's a young manager and they've had a big change in the chairman as well. And it just seems like the manager and chairman have a very, very good relationship together going on for next season. And again, from the new year, that they've been by far the best side in League One.
I think it was something we had all been working towards and had been edging closer in recent weeks. We had a good weekend when we enjoyed the celebrations, and it's back into work now, preparing for next season. We have a big summer where the club have to be active. They have to be always looking to improve in whatever areas we can. So, as I said, the hard work starts again, and we focus on doing the right things, bringing in players where we feel we need them to help this group of players compete in a very, very difficult league.
And as for Burton Albion, they've had a couple of promotions in succession, and each time with changing managers en route. What does that say about that football club? They're now at the highest level they've ever been.
Maybe Yeovil is an example a couple of years ago when they go from League Two and all of a sudden you're up into the Championship in quick succession. I think personally for me, it will probably come a little bit too soon for them. But I think the thing with Burton is, if you've looked over the years, Gary Rowett has been an excellent manager. Jimmy Ford and Hasselbank, I think, had over 65% win ratio. And Nigel Clough's come in, he knows the club. And I think they'll just go into the season and they'll make it as difficult as possible at home. It's a small ground where they play. I've played there a few times, and it's not going to be easy. And their home record next season is going to be very, very important. And the club seems very, very stable. The chairman seems in complete control of it. It seems to me if they get relegated next season, it's not going to be the end of the world. I don't think they're going to spend without their means. I think they're going to be, you know, financially always fine, and they're not going to go chasing that dream of staying in the Championship. I think they'll add quality to the side like they always do in the summer, because you can offer Championship football. But I think it's going to be a tough season for them.
The 7 or 8 clubs in the league next year that could take our ground over comfortably without one home supporter. That is a pretty frightening spectacle, you know. If we can get the capacity up a bit, we're going to, but we've got 7,000 fans. Newcastle's, your Villas, your Forests, your Derby, they're going to bring, you know, that comfortably. So we're going to have some unbelievable occasions at the Pirelli next season. To get from where, you know, from the Southern League all the way, and obviously trying to survive now next season. But that is an incredible ask, even at this stage.
Let's look at the four teams that were relegated: Crewe, Colchester, Doncaster and Blackpool.
Well, I think Crewe, you know, the league table never lies, and I'm surprised that Steve Davis is still in the job. You can't keep using this excuse of we always have a young, you know, youth system and a youth setup always coming through. There comes a period of time where you need to add the right experience to help these youngsters, and I don't think they've done that at all well this season, and they weren't great this year. Every time I saw them, it never filled me with confidence that his side were ever going to pick up wins. They were making simple mistakes, and again, it's cost them this season. And Doncaster, Darren Ferguson, you know, the quality they've got, Coppinger, Tyson, Andy Williams, you know, they should be doing better than what they've done this year. And the players have probably let down the manager, they've let down the fans. And I think it goes to show that you're never too good to go down, regardless of the quality of the squad. And they're a prime example this year. They'll be strong next year in League Two. You know, they'll probably be up there with the likes of Portsmouth and Plymouth for next season. But a poor season. And Blackpool, I think Neil McDonald's done a wonderful job. What more can you do? There's so much going off the field that it's very difficult for players to sometimes concentrate. He hasn't got the finances to bring in players during the transfer window. He's had to kind of deal with the squad that he's been given with. And, you know, them to push it all the way and almost make it is a huge testament to him. Colchester, I think they've been flirting with relegation now for a few years. And, you know, they seem to promote within all the time Joe Dunn as manager before. And I just think, again, like Crewe, you need the right experience with youth. I think they conceded the most goals in the division. You know, George Moncur had a good season for them, but apart from that, again, they just weren't good enough, and I don't think they'll bounce back straight away next season.
Talk Sport on DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM.
Freedom for sport.
Can we kick it? Yes, we can. Talk Sport.
So let's move on to Skybet League 2. And it was Wimbledon who enjoyed Wembley's success in the League 2 playoffs.
0-0 the scoreline, in towards the near post, really poor delivery, headed away by Boateng, back he comes in from Kennedy, another poor one, oh, he splits on, and in, at the near post, 1-0 Wimbledon lead it, is that the goal that sees them promoted? Lyle Taylor, making the run across the defender at the near post, his 23rd goal of the season, and Wimbledon lead Plymouth by a goal to nil with only 12 minutes remaining.
Taylor just gets the right contact on the ball. No chance for McCormick. It's a wonderful finish from a goal scorer.
Wimbledon leading 1-0. And now they have a penalty in the 11th minute of stoppage time. It's Bayoak in Fenwith, a lumbering run up. He puts the ball into the bottom left-hand corner. And the fairy tale is complete. A club only formed in 2002 have sealed promotion for the sixth time. They've gone from level 9 up to League 1, and they're going to be beating Plymouth by 2-0.
Incredible, incredible. But they have been the better side. Man for man, they've produced, I think, 7 out of 10 performances throughout their team. I tell you what, if they have this sort of spirit in League 1, they're going to be okay.
They've done it. Unbelievable group of players, best team won the game. They were prepared beautifully, and their mentalities, their character was immense. They thoroughly deserved it.
You know what, for 2 years, I've had nothing but joy here. Like, I've said it before, I was disappointed to not start as many games. And look where it's ended up. You know, Wembley scoring, come on now. So it's a parting gift. Lead this team from away. It's a beautiful feeling.
Well, it is one of the most extraordinary stories, even in this season of extraordinary stories. This one really takes some topping.
Unbelievable, another step forward on this journey. What a remarkable journey this football club's gone on in the last, you know, 15 years. And, you know, to be part of another step forward, it's amazing, amazing feeling, brilliant group of lads, and, you know, just so buzzing today.
It's an incredible story, and these guys over here, they deserve it. 14 years ago, they had their club taken away from them. Look at them now. Unbelievable.
We were both there at the League Two playoff final with Wimbledon winning 2-0 against Plymouth. What was your assessment of that and of the Don story?
Well, the Don story to start off with is a remarkable one. 14 years now to they've made it back into the highest position ever. I remember 14 years ago, there'd be friends of mine playing for local sides like Worthing, and they're taking 2,500-3,000 fans, where they'd usually get 50 or 60 fans at a home game. So the support has always been there. And as we saw on Monday, again, you know, 20-plus thousand. The club's growing. Whether or not the ground is stable enough now for League One football, who knows? But, you know, Neil Ardley takes a massive amount of credit. Tactically, he got it right. And they couldn't get the ball into Carey. They put Ballman on him as the holding midfielder. And Plymouth didn't know how to play against him. And Tom Elliott up front, I thought, was a man mounting for 75 minutes. He led the line well. I thought Robinson was excellent at centre-half. You know, that experience that you need, you know, in the big occasions. He's been there for Millwall, he's been promoted, he's scored a winner in the League One playoff final, and he was so important, and Reeves as well, second balls. And for Plymouth, it was just an off day. Unfortunately, you can't have off days in the final, and they had that, their key players just weren't there. I just think that Wimbledon were the better side. They made it hard for them in the first 35 minutes. It wasn't pretty, very, very few chances, but with Taylor up front, you always know you could have a chance with a bit of pace, and he took his goal very well. And then, you know, to go on and get the penalty, and the game was already over by then, but, you know, thoroughly deserved on the day that the right team won.
People were going to be now talking about next season, a league fixture between Wimbledon and MK Dons. What's your view on that whole situation? Is it just something that the media like to talk about? Do the clubs really care now?
I think it's something that the media was certainly build up. They did that in the FA Cup. I think the fans, you know, the hardcore AFC Wimbledon fans will be going there in their numbers to prove a point. You know, I think the rivalry will be there. But as a player, I think it's just another game for them. But you play for the fans and for the badge you represent. You know, I was fortunate enough to play in an Old Firm derby, and as a player, it's an amazing experience. But it probably means more to the fans in terms of what it actually means. But it's an amazing story. I don't think I've ever seen it in football where one club's gone off with the name of Wimbledon, and then another one's been formed again to be the original Wimbledon. It's an amazing story, but I'm sure one that will be built up. But as a player, it's just another game, and you want to win those.
We'll come on to the other three teams who are promoted from League Two. Just a word on Plymouth and Accrington Stanley in particular. They were both very much in the shake-up for getting a top three place this season, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the playoffs this year, you look at Brighton, unfortunately not to go up on goal difference. Walsall again, didn't go up on the last day of the season. And Accrington, you know, Bristol Rovers managed to get a last-minute goal with Lee Brown, who I've never seen that far up the pitch in the 92nd minute. But Darryl takes a lot of credit for that, and it's just weird that the teams that finished outside, the one place outside their respected automatic promotion, not one of them made it to Wembley. And that's, as far as I can remember, has never happened before. But it just shows that the playoffs are so unpredictable. Some find it unfair, some find it as to, you know, what makes the Football League what it is. But they'll come back strong next season. You know, Carey signing another deal, I think, is important, the way that Plymouth like to play through him as well. And Accrington, listen, there's no bones about it. The budget they've got, they've overachieved this season. Whether or not they're going to be there or thereabouts next season will be there to see. But you have to take all the positives from what they did. I think the League Two playoff games were the best by far in the playoffs. You know, Portsmouth against Plymouth and Accrington against AFC Wimbledon. You know, they were great games, and that's what the playoffs about. But I still see Plymouth being strong contenders next year.
So let's look at the teams that did go up automatically. Northampton as champions, and comfortably as champions. Oxford in second place, although Michael Appleton claiming that they were the best team in the division this season, and Bristol Rovers, who, as you mentioned, nicked it on the final day. How would you sum up them, and perhaps how far they can all progress?
Well, I think Bristol Rovers, if I start with those, is the new owner that's come in. It's exciting times for the club again. He has got money, but I think Darryl won't go mad with it. I think he needs to sign five players into the squad, five starters, but you know, he's got Matty Taylor, he's going to be one of those players that could fit into a League One goal scoring form, or he might not. I think that's still up in the air of what he's done, but he's still got to keep the core of his team. Back-to-back promotions is a massive achievement. You know, to get out of the National League and then do it again is a huge achievement. I think I disagree with Michael. I think, you know, Northampton were the best side over the course of the season. You know, I think they won 12 on the spin at one stage where they were unstoppable. How will they react under Robert Page? You know, they've lost their manager, Chris Wilder, to Sheffield United. I know Pagey very well, played with him at Coventry. He's a good bloke, and I think he's done well at Port Vale, considering every season he has his budget slashed every single time. He's a good man manager, he's a good coach, and I think the players respect him. And fortunately for Pagey, he's going to go into a successful side. You know, John Joe Atul, I think's now playing to his potential. I think he's a player that at Watford's lost his way a little bit. I was with him at Bristol Rovers, but he's an excellent player. And Holmes as well, getting into the team of the season. They've got good individuals, and it's just how now they play under the new manager, which will be the one to see, really. And Michael loves to play football, you know. Football-wise, yeah, I think, you know, they probably played some of the best stuff. You know, Kemar Roofe, you know, that attacking midfielder, him and Carey are arguably the two best attacking midfielders in League Two. But again, every time you get promoted, you just want to finish outside the bottom four. And that's always going to be your target. And then all of a sudden, if you can build momentum and get into the top six, then you do that. But first and foremost, you've got to make no bones about it. It's about staying out of the relegation zone. And if you can get off to a good start, then it certainly helps you.
To get a P next to our name, first club in the country, is an outstanding achievement, especially when we all know what's gone off at the early part of the season. You just get on with it and you just try and do your job to the best of ability, whether it's myself or Alan or all the staff and all the players. We just go about our job, you know, we're honest working, hard working people, and you know, we're proud to work for this football club and do our best, and that's what we've done, and that's all ask of the players, and they've done that from the first day they've come back. They've had a lot of things that's gone against them this season, but the character of the players has been first class.
We set the standards pretty high first day back pre-season. Had a real successful group, obviously, from last season. Didn't make too many changes, but we set the target of trying to finish in the top seven. I know that's easier said than done, but the players just kept on improving throughout the season, and it's credit to those guys that we finished the season on an unbelievable high. The last third of the season, I think we ended up winning last 12 out of 16, which was amazing.
You know, it's been a fantastic season with the cup run that we had in the FA Cup, obviously beating Swansea. We're getting to the final of the JPT and a Wembley appearance. Yeah, it's difficult to explain, really, because you put so much effort in over the season. And I think it was doubly satisfying because, you know, there's a lot of people who said you can't get out of this league playing decent football. You know, I'd go as far as saying we can get out of this league playing decent football, and this is just the start of it. You know, we've proved a lot of people wrong this year, so that's quite satisfying.
The other changes in the Football League, we've said goodbye to Dagenham and Redbridge and York City, replaced by Cheltenham and Grimsby.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dagenham just didn't score enough goals this season. I give Jamie Curtin all the praise that I can give, but when you're relying on a 40-plus-year-old striker to keep you in the division, and he's scored some excellent goals this year, it was just never going to be too much for them. I think what they've got now in a manager in John Steele that knows the non-league, he's won the league with Luton, so he knows what it takes to get out of that division. Of course, Luton, he had a bit more of a budget, plus he had a guy called Andre Gray on his side at the time when he got promoted. Listen, I thought Jackie McNamara was an odd choice to come into York. I just felt that, you know, they've kind of bitten their own backs, really, because they had Gary Mills in there, who I thought was an excellent manager. Then they had Nigel Worthington, again, I thought done well for them. And then they've just decided to pluck someone from Scotland. You need experience in League Two. You need to know League Two players that can sometimes keep you in the division. I think Jackie was trying to play football at the wrong times again. You know, a bit like what I was saying about Gary Caldwell for Wigan at the start of the season. And again, whether or not they stay with him for next season, I think they will do. But I can't see them coming back automatically. I just think the National League now has gone into a step above. But you look at Cheltenham, a Gary Johnson side, well organised, 4-4-2, work hard from the front. And they've got good match winners in there. Aaron Downs, you know, has got good league experience at Chesterfield. And they've got good individual. Story in midfield will be one to look out for next season. Dan Holman, again, 30-plus goals in the National League. He's a good player, good movement. And he plays off a big guy called Danny Wright, who's a very, very good sort of target man. And Grimsby, you know, finally for Paul Hurst, he's finally done it. And what that club will bring is a good fan base. 5,500, 6,000, probably more at their home games. And they've got some good individuals. Omar Bogle's somebody that's got a good touch in around the 18-yard box. Podrick Hammond, 30-plus goals again this season. He's just an out-and-out goal scorer. And again, it's interesting, like Matty Taylor, is how these players then adapt into probably having less chances in League Two because the defences are a little bit better than what they are in the National League. But Paul Hurst deserves it. I think they've had 4 failed attempts now in the playoffs, and they've finally done it against Forest Green. I think they'll do well next season. Whether or not they'll do what Bristol Rovers done will be remained to seen. But Gary Johnson's side, you know, he knows that league well. He's done it with Northampton. He's done it with Yeovil. So he'll know the individuals that he needs to sign to keep them in the division and push on. But they're too good sides to be coming into the Football League.
My thanks to Adam Virgo for his expert analysis on the show today. Now, before we go, not everything has gone to plan on Up the League this season. Gave them a slightly different dimension and caused problems. They can certainly... that's a terrible question. God, I'm going to have to get a new job, Kevin. Sorry.
Don't worry. I think the club have gone away over the summer, and I think everybody... hold on. Can you just call my mobile? I've got her... Hold on one sec. Sorry, my son's here now. He's just... Dog. Hold on, if you give me 2 minutes, my son's just about to leave and then the dog will stop barking. Right, I think we're ready to go.
Okay. Plenty still to come on Up the League. Derby's... They've got a good business model, clearly. Can Rochdale perhaps look at that and see them as somebody that they can... I can't think of the word. I'll do that again.
Emulate.
Yeah, that's the word. Hey, listen, there's one for the bloopers tape at the end of the season. Right, okay. I love that. Okay. So Wolves sort of clearly got a good business model. Do you think that Rochdale can kind of emulate that? And given like the... I've done it again. Okay.
What would it mean to you as captain of this football club to get them back? Are you a captain?
Vice-captain.
Vice-captain. Nah, I'll do that again.
Is that okay? Oh, there you are. Oh, darling, come on. Where's your dummy gone? Where is it? Aww. There you go. I know. There you go. Good girl.
Even footballers on the daddy daycare, do you
say? Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have it any other way, mate. I love her. There you go. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, if only we earned enough that we can employ nannies and house cleaners and gardeners and all sorts, mate. That'd be the day, eh?
We'll save that for the end of year bloopers tape. I think we'll keep that.
There you go.
I think if they appoint the right guy, I don't see there's any reason why they can't get back up.
Well, Jamie, we wish you well. Thank you for your time on Talk Sport.
No problem at all. Thank you.
It was tooting the horn.
I think that's the missus.
Well, before joining Chesterfield, you went on loan to Rochdale briefly and ended up a Wembley winner.
No, a Wembley loser, actually.
Oh, sorry. OK, well, I'll f*** that one up. I'll do that question again then. OK. You've had another trip to Wembley, two relegations, two promotions. It looks like it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride.
You've got that one wrong again there, Jeff.
Oh, God. OK.
It's been two Wembley appearances with Chesterfield
okay.
and one relegation. Two leagues. Two promotions, one relegation and two Wembley appearances.
F***'s sake. Right, OK, I'll do that again.
Yeah, we're doing well.
Yeah. See, we're human after all. That's all from us for now, and that's it for the season on Up the League. You can get in touch across the summer via social media. My Twitter address is at Mr. Jeff Peters. Thanks for listening here on Talk Sport.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM.
A terrific performance.
Turn of pace and eye for goal.
Shout about it.
Talk Sport.